have a lady that works for us in our plant, in our place of business and where we work, and she works in the shipping department. And one day, she made a mistake. Now, to be honest, and if I was to have a conversation with her, it's not the only day that she's made a mistake, but she made this mistake. What happened is we do some work for the federal government, and she had packed a box full of parts, probably a couple hundred little tubes that were in a box, and she had packed it up and put them all in there. But a government inspector had to come in and inspect the part. So he came in and he pulled a piece out and inspected it and set it on the table. And she packed up the box and shipped it and didn't put that piece back in the box. And she was just fretting about that, but fortunately, you know, we know the UPS driver because he comes in every day, and we call him up, and he came back and brought the box back, and we put the piece in, and everything was fine. But she was just fretting about the fact that she made this mistake, that she shipped this box with one piece short. And she just fretted and stewed over that. And finally I said to her, Paula, I asked her, does it hurt when you pinch yourself? And then she kind of laughed and knew what I was talking about, like, you know, she's a human being and that she made a mistake. And I said to her, you're still human. Now, she laughed and she thought that was kind of funny, but she didn't really understand what I was talking about, but she did realize that she's a human being and that she makes mistakes. We understand that a lot deeper than just we're human and we make mistakes, don't we? We understand that the reality is the spirit world. We're human beings. But the reality is, the ultimate reality is the spirit world. You know, it existed before the physical world, and it will exist after the physical world as well. So spirit is the ultimate reality, but the physical is the reality that we're in today and in right now. So when we pinch ourselves, and if I was to ask you to, or maybe the person next to you to pinch you, I see some of you doing that now. It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts, because we're physical human beings. Sometimes I fear that we spend much of our lives acting as though this is all there is. Sometimes we get pretty caught up, you know, as Dr. Guy talked a little bit about in the sermonette, we get pretty caught up in this physical life, but we know that it's temporary. Ultimately, we know that it's temporary. You know, the older I get, the more I appreciate that it is temporary. You know, things hurt. My back hurts when I get up in the morning. And, you know, the older I get, it seems like the more I appreciate that things are temporary, that we are here on a temporary basis. And when we do pinch ourselves, it hurts. Let's turn, David, you know, ask an interesting question. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm 8 and verse 4. David asks an interesting question here. Psalm chapter 8 in verse 4. He asks the question, what is man? Psalm 8 verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that you visit him. New Revised Standard Version there says, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Why does God care about us? Ever ask and think about that? Why does it seem slippery up here today? My notes keep sliding down. Why does God care about us? Does he care about us? We're temporary, physical human beings. Does he care about us? What are human beings that you are mindful of them? Now, we could take this scripture and go in a number of directions. Probably give several sermons on it. What is man that you are mindful of him? God is mindful of us. Let's turn to and go to Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to go through a number of scriptures today, but we'll start here. And of course, we started in Psalm 8. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. What is man? Keep that question a little bit in our mind as we go through the message today. What is man that you are mindful of him? Why does God care about us? Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16 says, then those who feared the Lord. Now, who would that be? Who would that be? Who are those who fear God? Well, we learn about that every year, don't we, at the Feast of Tabernacles. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23 says, that you may learn. We're asked the question, why are you here? Oftentimes. And Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 23 says, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. I would imagine I have notebooks with feast notes in them, going back to the beginning of this century, back to, I think, 2001. And I've got several of them that have all of my Feast of Tabernacles notes in them. And I didn't check this. I could have, but I didn't. But I would imagine that if I go back through those notes and went back and through those notes, I could probably count in those, what, I think 16, 17 or 18 Feast of Tabernacles, different Feast of Tabernacles notes I have, I could probably count 8 or 10 sermons on that subject, on the fact that we are here to fear the Lord our God always. And Malachi here says, then those who fear, verse 16, who feared the Lord, spoke to one another, and the Lord listened. So that's an interesting statement in itself. The Lord listened and heard them. We are those who fear God, and when we speak to one another, God listens. God listens to us. Interesting, isn't it? So when we speak to one another, we have to realize that God is listening. And those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. And we ask the question, why does God care about us? God says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. My jewels. I will spare them as a man spares his own son and serves him. So God calls us, or makes us, he says, my jewels. Now, I've spoken on that subject in the past, and a number of years ago, but this, I'm going to come at it from a little different angle today. the margin there says special treasure. Special treasure. So God does care about us to the point where he calls us or makes us my jewels or special treasure. We're his special treasure. So we are God's jewels. God calls us his jewels, doesn't he? He calls us his jewels. So the title of the sermon today will be My Jewels, Past, Present, and Future. As we go through this message, keep this in mind. Keep in mind that God said here and called us and said that he has made us his jewels. So he does care very much about us. He does care, and we'll go through this, and we'll be talk about this concept several times in the course of this message. So what is man? God calls us my jewels. The margin again says special treasure. 2 Peter chapter 2, we're not going to turn there, but it says his own special people. His own special people. So we are called God's jewels. God cares for us and cares about us. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read through a section of scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll begin reading in verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. See some interesting things here as we read through here. We're talking about the physical and the spiritual and being God's jewel, God's special people. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, says, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." It's an interesting statement here that Paul makes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that the rulers of this age are coming to nothing. There are going to be rulers of an age to come. Who are those rulers going to be? The rulers of this age are going to come to nothing. And the rulers of the age to come will be you and I, won't we? Verse 7 says, "But we speak wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew." They don't have the wisdom from above, as it says in James chapter 3. They don't have the wisdom from above, have access to the wisdom from above that you and I do. Paul said, speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us. We have an understanding and a vision. Now again, we don't know everything, obviously, and there are probably a lot of things that we don't know. But he has revealed a lot of what will happen to us and has given us hope. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? The physical. We know physical things because the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Here we see this contrast again of the physical and the spiritual. That man knows the things of man because of the Spirit of man. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So we have understanding. God cares so much about us, He gives us understanding and knowledge. Verse 13 says, "These things we also speak in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can we know them because they are spiritually, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." So the natural man does not understand these things of God, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. 4, verse 16, "Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." I always think that is quite a statement. It is quite a statement that we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. What a statement Paul made here. And so here we see a bit of a contrast again of the physical and the temporary and the spiritual. And we, because we have God's Holy Spirit, can see beyond, as we read in verse 8, because we have the mind of Christ, we can know spiritual things. We can know spiritual things. So God, what is man that you are mindful of him? God has given us, made us his jewels, and has given us the mind of Christ. What an awesome thing that is. Romans chapter 12. What an awesome thing it is that we can recognize, and hopefully do recognize, can be appreciative of, and can also be sobered by the fact that we have the mind of Jesus Christ. What an awesome thing that is. Romans chapter 12, it's also a big response, can also be a big responsibility, can't it? That we have the mind of Christ. Romans chapter 12, here again Paul writing to the Romans says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," verse 1, Romans 12, 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." So here we begin to see some of the responsibility that comes with having the mind of Christ, some of the responsibility that comes with being made God's jewels. "By the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." So we are to be acceptable to God. That can also mean well-pleasing. Well-pleasing to God. We have that responsibility to be well-pleasing, which is your reasonable service. That can also, some translations use, in fact, the New American Standard Bible says, which is your spiritual service of worship. Which is your spiritual service of worship. "So I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." So we have a responsibility with that, don't we? Verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world." Do not be conformed. We're in the world, as we often say, or have, you know, have given messages on. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We see things of the world, and this time of year we see a lot, but we're not of that. We don't participate in it. We're not of it. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So our minds are to be transformed and renewed. God's will, good and acceptable and perfect. To God's will, good and acceptable and perfect. Hold your place here for a moment. Let's turn back to John chapter 6 and verse 38. John chapter 6 and verse 38. John 6, verse 38. Here Christ said, made a statement. He said, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will. Remember, we read there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 that we have to understand the perfect will of God. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now, I want us to think about this now in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. Christ said, I have come down not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. We, you and I, have the mind of Christ, Paul said. We have God's Spirit. We have the mind of Christ, back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. So let's think of that for a moment in the context of we have the mind of Christ. We have to prove what is that good and acceptable, as Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, what is that a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to have our mind set on doing, as we have the mind of Christ, on doing the will of God. And we do the will of God. Let's read on here in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So that's a battle that we battle, isn't it? Sometimes we battle that battle of not, you know, thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, our body has many members. You know, we've got our hands and our arms and our legs and our feet. You know, it's not just a foot, or it's not just a hand. We have many members, but all the members do not have the same function. You know, the hand and the foot have different functions. So we, being many, verse 5, are one body in Christ. We are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So what is man? You know, we are part of, you and I are part of the body of Christ. We're part of the body of Christ. So what is man? God cares so much about. He calls us his jewels. He has given us the mind of Christ. And here in verse 5, we see that he tells us that we are part of Christ's body. we're part of Christ's body, the very body of Jesus Christ, the membership, the member. We're a member, as he says in verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We're members, we are members of the body of Christ. We are part of the very body of Jesus Christ. God cares so much for us. What is man that you are mindful of him? He cares so much for us that he has made us members of the very body of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 1. We'll read through some scriptures here. It's kind of fascinating to think about these things, to think about the fact that we are members of the very body of Jesus Christ. We are God calls us my jewels. So he does care a great deal for us and about us. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Colossians 1 verse 15, verse 14, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image, he, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, physical, spiritual, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Again, think about the fact that we have the mind of Christ, and in him all things exist. Verse 18 says, and he is the head of the body. So we are part of the body, the very body of Jesus Christ. Verse 18 says, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. So in all things he has preeminence. Verse 19 says, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness could dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through his blood, or through the blood of his cross. So all things Christ is the head of. So we are part of that body. Let's drop on down to verse 24. Verse 24 says, and now I rejoice, Paul said, in my sufferings for you, and fill up my flesh, what is lacking in afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which he has given me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. We have had mysteries. We've had these mysteries revealed to us. Verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. So we want to be perfected, don't we? To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So the words of Paul. Let's drop down to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, and we'll pick up there for a couple of verses. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 says, and you therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. Paul instructs us to walk in him. Again, recognizing that Paul said, what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, that we have the mind of Christ. So we are to walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware, Paul says. Beware. Here's a warning. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. We see a lot of tradition of men, don't we? Especially this time of year. So we're to be aware of that according to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. So here we see this contrast again of the physical and the spiritual. So we're to beware of the fact and not let the physical cheat us out, not let anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit according to the tradition of men. Verse 9 says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." Jesus Christ is the head of all rule and authority. Jesus Christ is the head of all. The body is totally subject to the head, to Jesus Christ. So we, brethren, are God's jewels. We have been given the mind of Christ. We're part of the body of Christ, and we are totally subject to the head, to Jesus Christ. Totally subject to the head, to Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You can write down 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 and 13. Romans chapter 8. And we'll read verse 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, "But you are not in the flesh." Here we see this contrast again. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So we're not in the flesh. We don't make that a priority, go after fleshly things. That's not our priority. We are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone, Paul said, does not have the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God are not two different things. He is none of his, Paul said. So we are part of the body of Christ. And we see that we are to, you know, that if the Spirit dwells in us, that we are not in the flesh, but we are in the Spirit, as Paul said. So some interesting things to think about when David asked the question, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" When God says we are his jewels, and that we are and have the mind of Jesus Christ, and that we are part of the body of Jesus Christ. Let's take it a little bit further. Let's go back to Malachi chapter 3. Take it a little bit further than that. It's interesting to contemplate and think on these things. Malachi chapter 3, we read verse 16 and 17. We'll read that again. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For then those who fear the Lord spoke often to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name." So we're written in the book of remembrance. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, my special treasure. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Let's go up to verse 1, and we'll pick up another concept here. Back up to verse 1 of chapter 3. Malachi says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." Here we see his temple introduced or talked about. "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." So Malachi talks here about coming, the Lord coming to his temple. Now, sometimes we think that this return is to a physical temple. We think, you know, of physical temples. We think, you know, of the Temple Mount when we were in Israel back in the summer. You know, we were on the Temple Mount, Temple Mountain. And we don't know exactly where Solomon's temple was, but we think a lot of times of a physical temple. We think of Solomon's temple and all the adornment and all the beauty. You know, we can read about that in the book of Kings and read through some of the things that Solomon and God had Solomon put into his temple. David, you know, wanted to build a house for God. Remember that story? David wanted to build a house for God, but God, you know, wouldn't let him because he had a lot of blood on his hands. He killed a lot of people, and God wouldn't let him build it. But I don't think, you know, God is all that concerned about a physical temple. He's concerned about you and I. Let's go back to the book of Acts. It's another interesting concept as we think about who we are. What is man that you are mindful of him? That we are his jewels, that we have the mind of Christ, that we are the body of Christ. Acts chapter 7. We'll read a couple of verses here in the book of Acts. Acts, of course, was written by Luke. Acts chapter 7. One of the books written by Luke. Acts chapter 7 and verse 44. Says, "Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness." We can go back to and read about that in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. "Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen, which our fathers, having received it, turn also brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David, who found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling for the house of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says," and we could go back and read that. I'll read it here in Acts. We could read that in Isaiah 66. In verse 1 and 2, the next couple of verses. "However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Has my hands not made all things?'" God's hands made all things. So we cannot get caught up in the physical. Again, we think sometimes of a physical temple. We have to be careful not to get ourselves caught up in the physical, because God is not returning to a physical temple. Let's read And let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 now. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We oftentimes can get caught up in physical things. And we need to make sure that we have and recognize that we have the mind of Christ, and that we need to get not be fleshly, but get caught up in spiritual things. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God? You are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you." So you and I are the temple of God. We're God's jewels. We have the mind of Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. And here Paul says, you are the temple of God. You're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Holy, set aside, sanctified. Set aside and sanctified, which temple you are. Which temple you are. So we should be thinking in terms, you know, of the temple, God's temple being us. We are, as Paul said here in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, the temple of God. So we can't get, you know, too caught up in the reality of this physical. Yes, we are physical. Yes, we have physical things. You know, we have our cars that brought us here today. We have our homes. You know, and we should be careful and care for those things. Yes, we should. We care for the things that God has blessed us. We can keep them clean. You know, the Bible does say that God does walk among us. So we keep those things clean and take care of them, but not get too caught up in them. Recognize that the things that we have are temporary. They're temporary. And not get too caught up in these things that we sometimes see. There's a lot to see right now. A lot of, Mr. Guy mentioned in the sermonette, beautiful lights, all the pageantry that goes with this holiday season. We can get caught up in those things if we're not careful. We can get caught up in the physical, and we can forget that the important things are the relationships that we have, first of all, with God and with Jesus Christ, but then also with one another, and also with one another, that those are the important things in our lives, that we need to be careful, that we recognize that as David asked the question, what is man that you are mindful of him? That we are, that God called us his jewels. I remind us of that several times through this message, that we are his jewels. That we have the mind, the very mind of Jesus Christ, if we have God's Holy Spirit. That we are part of the body of Christ, and that we are the temple of God. That is not a physical thing, but a spiritual thing, that God has given us his Spirit. And for the temple of God, it says in verse 17 here, is holy. The temple of God is holy. Which temple you are, so that we recognize that, and that we treat each other accordingly, that we treat each other accordingly, and we treat each other like jewels. We treat each other like jewels, that our family is treated, our moms and dads, our sons and daughters, our neighbors, future jewels. I said, my jewels, past, present, and future. We've talked about some past jewels. We've talked about us as jewels, future jewels. All human beings that we come in contact with have the potential to be future jewels of God. God says, I'll make them my jewels. Have the potential to be future, have the mind of Christ, have the potential to be part of the body of Christ, have the potential to be the temple of God. Think about that. So we treat each other accordingly. We treat each other here like jewels. Do we do that? Do we treat our mates like jewels? I'd like to read a little bit from Mr. Frank's latest letter. It came out on December the 5th, just a couple of paragraphs from it. This was shortly after Thanksgiving. He says, here in the United States, we have a holiday each year called Thanksgiving. The idea of giving God thanks for blessings is certainly a biblical one. Are we grateful? I might ask that question. Do we thank God for the things that we have? Recognizing again that it all, that He made everything, and that it all comes from Him. So the idea of giving thanks, he says, is certainly a biblical one, even though the current celebration is often more self-indulgent, thereby missing the real point of being thankful. It doesn't take away from the need to express appreciation for what God has given us. He says, this year my wife and I had extended family from El Salvador who joined us for a traditional meal of turkey, dressing, and all the trimmings. We enjoyed the food and drink, but above all, we enjoyed the time together. I might ask ourselves that question, do we enjoy the time together? I know that when we get together for Thanksgiving with our family, it's one of the highlights of the year, almost next to the Feast of Tabernacles, when our family gets together. It's a highlight for us to be able to get together. And I hope, I have some ideas at some point, hope we can do it more. That we can spend more time together, you and I, us, as members of the body of Christ. Us as the temple of God, that we can spend more time together. Mr. Franks continues, he says, returning home from the funeral, he talked about Mrs. Gore's funeral, to observe Thanksgiving with our three daughters, their husbands, our grandchildren, and extended family was especially meaningful to me this year. I love my family and truly believe they are all gifts from God. Do we truly believe that in our case? We might ask ourselves that question. They are God's jewels. Do we believe they are truly a gift from God? As Mr. Franks writes here, the things that have greatest value in our lives today are not houses, cars, or things that we can buy, but our families, both physical and spiritual. The Bible is strikingly clear on this point. Paul writes about this in the same chapter he quoted earlier. It says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. That's in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. God's nature is one of love, 1 John 4, verse 8 and verse 16, often defined as outgoing concern for others. Now, we haven't heard that as much lately. Back in the day, those of us who've been around a while remember Mr. Armstrong pounding, I can use that word, that point home to us all the time, that love is outgoing concern for others. We need to have that love, that outgoing concern for others. He instructs us to love one another. John 13, verse 35. Love for God, love for our physical family, and love for the brethren, our spiritual family, are all incredibly important. To know the truth of God is the greatest blessing any of us could ever be given in this lifetime. Sharing the truth with those of like mind creates a bond that cannot easily be broken. Let me read those last two sentences again. It says, to know the truth of God is the greatest blessing any of us could ever be given in this lifetime. That is so true, isn't it? Sharing the truth with those of like mind creates a bond that cannot easily be broken. Of course, that's just part of the letter that he wrote. So we need to treat each other as the jewels that God calls us. And we need to recognize, David asked the question, what is man that you are mindful of him? That God cares for us a great deal, that he calls us his jewels, makes us his jewels, that he has given us the mind of Jesus Christ, that we are part of the body of Jesus Christ, and that we are the temple of God. What a blessing that is. We can ask ourselves, brethren, how do I treat God's jewels? How do I treat the body of Christ? How am I going to treat the temple of God? Let's make sure that we recognize that God has given us wonderful things, wonderful blessings, that we have a wonderful blessing of knowing each other, that we can share that special bond of love for one another. So let's make sure that we never forget, as David asked, what is man that you are mindful of him?